Hey, all you jive hustlers, you stone foxes, you mean dudes, watch out.
The Godfather of Harlem is doing it again.
There's only one stud who could rip off New York, ruin Rome, and stay alive to run a number in Africa.
Like stealing candy from a baby.
He ate up the town.
What the hell did you know about that?
Now, he's hungry for more. More action. Oh. More excitement. More everything.
Podnography Podcast 7. Presented by Sam Sugar. A SugarBank.com production. Brought to you with the support of WestSpot.com.
His business is pleasure. He sells the soft stuff.
Rated R. It's nasty.
Hi, I'm Sam Sugar. Welcome to Podnography Show 7. Each week, Podnography takes a look at the worlds of sex and pornography and the people who inhabit them. In this week's show, I take a look back at the past week at fleshbot.com, I review marqueemodels.com, and I interview the pin-up pool fit in your pocket, 4 foot 11 inch nude model Jasmine Gray. Sit back, unzip, enjoy the show. Every day, Fleshbot filters the web for the finest filth and presents the best of what it finds to its readers. Here are my highlights from their last week of discoveries. The world's used panty portal caters to a well-established, mysteriously naive fetish, the used panty lover. I still remember looking at porn magazines in the 80s, back when it still hurt to come, and seeing ads in the back for panties by mail. Even then, my hormone-drenched 11-year-old brain knew that dirty panties bought by mail would come straight from a guy who spends his evening painting the crutches on store-bought cotton briefs with a model maker's paintbrush dipped in his own day-old piss and blood drained from roadkill. Of course, if you choose to believe instead that hot co-eds go jogging 3 times a day in panties they sweat into, go crazy. You mad buying shit out of Japanese vending machines bastard, you. Graham, Fleshbot's resident man about porn, reported on the premiere of Pirates, a Smega production cashing in on Johnny, I Shave My Balls, Depp's 2003 hit, Pirates of the Caribbean. Personally, I think there's something odd about remaking kids' movies as sex films. And if you don't think Pirates of the Caribbean is a kids' movie, you probably voted for the president. Who finishes The House at Pooh Corner and thinks, with the right casting, a movie of this could be a real ball drainer? Not me. Weirder still was the premiere Graham reported on. As porn people continue to strive for mainstream respectability, in a world where the mainstream's barely respectable and far from admirable, they showed the movie on a big screen to an invite-only audience. I've never made it past the other movies available from part of a sex video, so the thought of watching poorly acted drama peppered with cum shots in an audience full of people pretending porn's worth watching for the plot is too much uncomfortable bullshit for me to handle. Graham did, though, and took one for the team. I salute him. On the magazine front, Fleshbot reported on newly available nude sets from Stern magazine. Stern, which has nothing to do with Howard and lots to do with his favourite Euros, the Germans, has been a friend to horny youth with arty parents for decades. Ostensibly about art, news, and issues, I hope you can hear my air quotes, it is in fact packed, each issue, with lovingly shot pictorials of women who look pissed off that Robert Palmer died before he had a chance to put them in a music video. It's a lot easier to enjoy at home than at the newsstand, where you stand around worrying that your trousers might be thin enough to let your appreciation show through to the old lady beside you reading Cat Fancy. That said, she's probably horny too. Martha's Girl sounds like a Skinny Max movie, but is in fact a website. It's rare that Fleshbot gets excited about porn you have to pay for, and I feel as uncomfortable visiting a website encumbered with flash as Barbara Bush did breathing darky air in the Superdome. Martha's worth checking out though. Cute women, sans clothes, dressed and photoshopped to look like something you'd find in your grandfather's closet. Strangely stimulating in that grandmother was hot when she was young. This feels wrong, sort of a way. I like it. Skyfish Gallery is a pleasantly nuts hentai site Fleshbot found earlier this week. Hentai translates from the Japanese as sad man draw picture because he never see real titty, and is all about pictures of women with blue hair and giant boobs being tied up by monsters or falling out of their school uniforms. It's what I call gateway porn, ideal starter material for people who've never seen a woman naked, or a lifetime obsession for people who never will. On the other hand, Justine Jolie, who I spoke to last week, is a fan, and therefore there is a tiny chance that you might meet a woman like her at some comic book porn convention, if you stick with it and diligently add to your collection. Of course, if you don't meet a woman like Justine Jolie, you might have wasted your life wanking over G-Force reruns and trying to convince people to call comics graphic novels. You sad, pathetic bastard. They were my five faves this week. Check out fleshbot.com for daily updates and podnography.com for links to all the articles mentioned this week.
Fencing, fighting, torture, revenge, giants, monsters, chases, escapes, true love, miracles.
Some people don't like me.
You spineless bimbo.
But they're just jealous because I have a hot boyfriend.
This is Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise.
Sucker Girl Incorporated.
You're right where you should be, baby.
If it really is chicken blood,
I'm gonna be pissed.
That's really strange. And it doesn't smell like it.
Alright, I'm gonna taste it. Find the first naked podcaster and the inventor of the bathcast on Soccer Girl.
Oh yeah, listeners.
Incorporated. Yeah.
Send me $50 and I'll send you a picture of my ass.
You whore.
The girl is mine. Mine. Don't waste your time. Bum, bum,
bum, bum, bum, did you bum. Do the instruments too?
The doggone girl is mine. I'm pretty sure I did, yeah.
So tune in at SoccerGirlIncorporated.com. You'll be glad you did, baby.
I'll show up sometime, see me.
In this week's review, I'm going to take a look at Marquee Models, a pay site run by first ever pornography interviewee, Playmate Angela Malini. Marquee Models features over 60 models from the softcore end of the spectrum, and, unusually, thanks to Angela's Playboy contacts, contains a high proportion of new modeling discoveries. This proves once again that the easiest way to get a beautiful woman naked is to be a beautiful woman. That's why I'm working on my skin suit, of course, but I'll save that story for another podcast. Annoyingly, Marquee Models isn't running its free site as a blog. They're hardly alone in this, but it's frustrating and something I'll continue to complain about until the adult industry shows some sign that they, you know, get it. Or people start paying me huge sums of money to tell them what I'm telling them here for free, right now. That means the free side of Marquee Models is a tour, and as you probably know from experience, tours are almost useless as a guide to what's inside a pay site. Thankfully for you, I can tell you what's inside from first-hand experience. Trust me on this, when I say first-hand, I mean it. First hand, then fleshlight, then rubber glove with bacon taped to it, warmed in the microwave to body temperature. Damn, that's making me hungry. Inside the site, each model photo set contains 30 to 40 images, and all the pictures I could find were of magazine quality. That's a bonus, considering that besides well-wanked over names like Aria Giovanni and Amy Sweet, there's also ample opportunity to discover women like Lane. If, like me, you hear Lane and think, Lane who? I tell you, you've never seen a fat chick this cute. You can check out the show notes for a free photo. Of course, as it's 2005, along with the pictures, there's a good selection of video to enjoy. The clips are high quality and well produced, but unfortunately only available in, I love to suck them balls, Windows Media format. They're still fun though. Check out an audio sample of what's on offer.
Oh,
Okay, I'll admit that didn't really get the point across. Just know that the clip I was playing featured Ann Pohl smothering her tits with chocolate sauce. As is always the case with chocolate sauce, after a while it's impossible not to think that the woman you're ogling is in fact covered in runny stools. But before that kicks in, it's hot, chocolatey stuff. Oh yeah, something tells me that marquee models aren't clearing rights to all their music. Either that or Angela Molini is a bit of a demon with the old Casio PSR-80. Anyway, I'll put the Ann Pohl clip up at pornography.com for you to get a sneak preview of until I'm asked to take it down, so I suggest you check it out immediately. In summary, Marquee Models gets it right. It's nicely designed, features models from their teens to their 40s, and is actively maintained, which means your subscription shouldn't go stale. If you like glossy porn with a little more funk than Playboy, and none of the "I can't believe they shot her pissing in the sink" weirdness of Penthouse, you'll love it, and should consider a membership $19.96 well spent. You'll find links to the site, pictures, and sample video at podnography.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we are proud to announce the motion picture debut of America's most talented, most beautiful, most exciting, most glamorous female superstar. She's sweet.
This is a giant cock.
She's sexy.
I know what you want to, and you're gonna get it.
She's courageous.
All your friends are dead. Well, I killed them all.
She's outrageous.
You want me to crawl? You want to spit on me and make me crawl?
A mean kind of super chick. The godmother of them all.
This week's interviewee is Jasmine Gray, a relatively new adult model who still works part-time as a stripper, claims to like getting close to her clients, and at just 4'11" tall, is almost life-size on her website. Here's what happened when I took the time to talk to her about modeling and sex with my usual lewd enthusiasm. Hello, Jasmine.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm good, how are you?
Great.
Well, it has been something of a struggle in order to get to this point. The people listening, the millions of people listening all over the world, aren't going to realize that, in fact, you were the first person I ever interviewed for pornography. But I had such incredible technical difficulties that the bits and pieces that we managed to actually get recorded never made the air. So this is, I think, our third actual attempt at doing this, and probably like our fifth or sixth attempt at getting each other on the phone. So I appreciate your persistence.
Yeah, of course.
So I know a little bit about you, although the people listening are going to know less than me. So why don't you tell us a bit about your background and how you became a nude model?
Okay. Well, I'm from Ohio, Midwest. I come from a little town outside of Cleveland. Live on a farm, that whole deal. I got into modeling through dancing. I was working at a local gentleman's club, and a couple of the girls there also did some modeling, and I happened to mention to them that I was interested, and they introduced me to a photographer, and one thing led to another, and here I am.
Well, that is the classic how I got into nude modeling career path, but the most interesting question for people who are considering it or who don't know exactly how these things begin is, how did you go from being a normal or the average girl living on the farm in Idaho, your field of dreams like childhood, to deciding that you're going to take your clothes off in a strip club?
Actually, I've always been somewhat of a exhibitionist, and I've always loved being naked, so it came natural. Like, even growing up, like, I think I was 14 the first time I ever told my mom that I wanted to be a stripper. Because my aunt did it, and I was raised around a few other ones. So it was always very comfortable for me, and it was always something that I thought I wanted to do. And I also always wanted to model, but I'm pretty short. I'm only 4'11", so a lot of agencies always turn me down. So I started doing the dancing thing as a way, to still keep my kind of dream there. So plus I like attention, so it just came natural.
Well, that's really interesting angle, because if your aunt was a stripper, I'm assuming from what you've said that she was fairly open about it. There was no secret about your aunt being a stripper in your family.
No, no secrets.
So was she positive about it? I mean, was she saying to her 14-year-old niece, stripping is a great career, this is something you should be doing?
No, no. She said, give it a couple of years, grow up. I'm sure you'll change your mind. She actually said that, you know, there's a lot of bad things in it. She has no regrets, obviously, but it's not something you wish for someone. But, I mean, if in my family, it's kind of whatever makes you happy, and they'll support you 100%. So,
are your family pretty progressive? When you say Idaho, I don't think of kind of San Francisco, but are your family unusual, would you say, in the way that they approach life in general?
Yeah, I would. I mean, we're definitely not your normal, you know, every night sit together at dinner, go to church on Sundays. I mean, that was never us. We're very open and honest with each other. And, you know, we were raised to do whatever you want, you know, like not whatever you want. I mean, there's boundaries, but, you know, you can't be scared. Like get drunk one night and, you know, whatever happens, you go home and you tell your parents. It's not like you keep it a secret, you know? Because in my family, it was rather, you know, be upfront and honest than keep secrets, because secrets can only hurt people down the line, so.
So,
I don't know.
In your family of no secrets, by the time you had decided that you were going to become a stripper, had you been in a strip club at that point, or had you seen your aunt stripping?
Actually, the first time I went to a strip club, it was on my 18th birthday. And, after that, it took a couple months because I wanted to check out a couple different clubs, so I didn't start dancing immediately. But, I wasn't in one until my birthday, so.
And for people who haven't yet leapt across to your website, and I suggest that you do leap across to jasminegray.com. at your earliest opportunity. But for people who haven't done that yet, you have quite a spectacular figure. Why don't you tell people a little about what you look like?
Okay, I am 4'11". I'm about 115 pounds. I have long brown hair. My measurements are 34D, 25, 35. So I'm short, but I have lots of curves.
And is that a trait that... Sorry, what did you say?
I said I'm all natural.
Wow, there was a piece of distortion on the line that made that sound so obscene, and obviously from a charming young lady as yourself. What I thought you said would have been completely impossible, but if anyone knows what they think that I heard Jasmine say, then email me and you'll win a prize if you get it right. But does your aunt share your petite stature and your curvaceous figure?
No, no, my aunt was like 5'7", tall, skinny. Yeah, oh. I don't know where I got my figure from, because I don't look like my family.
Are you sure you're not adopted?
No, I'm not adopted, but I don't know where it came from, so.
And do you think that your size, I mean, I think it's fairly obvious to say, as a man, I don't have to be an expert in these things, which I am, of course, but I think as a man, it's easy to tell that a woman with large breasts is going to be a hit as a stripper. But how do you find that your height affects the way that people react to you when you're stripping?
Actually, I fool a lot of people when I'm dancing because I have the really big platform shoes, mm-hmm. like 7 or 8 inches. So I wear those and I look, you know, normal size. It's when I tell them or I take my shoes off for a certain reason that they're like, oh my gosh, you're so small, you know? But a lot of guys get dances from me because I am small. It's like a fetish thing for them, I guess.
Is it?
But I've never really had any bad reactions.
Is it the little girl thing they're going for, or the spinner thing they're going for, do you think?
I'm not sure. I think a lot of guys have like the knight in shiny armor like complex. So, you know, someone's small and, you know, like that, they could just, like, pick up and carry him over their shoulder. I don't know. I don't know. I'm hoping it's not the little girl thing, because that would kind of creep me out.
Well, I think it depends on how you play it up, although I do know that that is a, you know, that's a common fantasy. At least I mean fantasy in the truest sense of the word, apart from the people who are just deeply disturbed and, you know, need professional help.
Yeah.
You know, but
If you don't play it up, then you can probably do a fairly good job of avoiding it. But obviously, with your stature, if you were to put a school uniform on and pigtails, you could, mm-hmm. and you're a young woman anyway, you could pass yeah. You're 4'11". I mean, it would be a little creepy.
I actually have pigtails in today, and
wow.
I went to the gas station to buy a lighter, and I got carded for a lighter, and I'm 21.
A 4'11". A 4'11" girl in pigtails should get carded for everything. There should be nothing that you can buy in when you look like that. Although I'm sure in your neighborhood you must be something of a celebrity, even if people are pretending they don't recognize you. I'm sure they do.
I get recognized on occasion at bars, but never really like when I'm out and about, because I don't really. I dress, you know, kind of as a tomboy, so mm-hmm. I don't get a lot of looks.
Mm-hmm.
When I go out to the bar and I wear something cute, like a small little top and a skirt, that's when people recognize me. But it doesn't happen that often. I'm keeping pretty quiet. It's not something like I'm embarrassed about. It's just that I don't like everyone to know my business, like know where I live and that kind of thing. So I just kind of keep it, you know, quiet. But if you ask, I'll tell you the truth, you know, that kind of thing.
That's extremely honest, but I completely understand the need for security because there are weird people out there who will stalk you.
Mm-hmm.
None of whom listen to this show, so just relax because everyone's very carefully screened here. I trace who downloads it and just pass their information to the FBI. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that because everyone will stop listening. But one of the things that you said when you were talking about your beginning and your exhibitionist tendencies. You said you knew you're an exhibitionist, from the age of 14. Did you demonstrate that? Were you flashing guys in school, or how did you know you're an exhibitionist and what did you do?
Pretty much. I mean, I'd flash whoever. I'd run around like, you know, a pair of thongs and a tank top when all my brother's friends were over, you know, like, I've just always preferred to have less clothes on, I guess, and just, you know, be natural state. I don't know. I just like flashing people, getting the reaction, I guess, you know.
And when you say flashing, let's be specific. Were you flashing your breasts or were you flashing everything or?
It depends on the occasion, but yeah, it could be anything. I have, my friend had a minivan, like when we were younger. And all us girls would pile in the minivan, and we'd, like, drive around town, and we'd open, like, the side door up, and we'd take turns, like, mooning people as we drove by.
Are you obviously, your website means the answer to this in some ways is yes, but are you still an exhibitionist? As in, do you still get a charge from exposing yourself to people when you're off camera?
Oh, of course. Of course, yeah.
When was the last time that you flat one?
The last time was actually yesterday, Labor Day. We were at one of the local lakes, you know, swimming, you know, having a good time, playing frisbee, all that. And I just saw all these guys looking at me, so I just, you know, walked out of view of, like, the little kids and everything, just flashed and walked back. It was, you know, a little rush.
And how did the guys react?
Oh, they were loving it, high-fiving each other, all that stuff. But
you make a lot of people in your community very happy. What a public servant you are turning out to be, Jasmine. And the other interesting thing about knowing that you were so sexual so early on is when did you lose your virginity?
I lost it when I was 14.
And was that a good experience?
The first time, no. It hurt so bad. But after that, I love sex. So just, you know, the first time, it's usually never a good experience. So
that's what
it was good in the fact that I, like, it was my best friend and, like, we were comfortable with each other and, like, all that. But just, like, the actual having sex, it hurt. The rest of it was fine. But
do you still know this guy?
Yeah. I'm still very good friends with him.
Does he still make passes at you? Does he still want to have sex with you, even at this point?
Yes.
And so you spent most of your time turning him down, or do you, you know, for old time's sake?
I give in every once in a while.
You are just an incredibly accommodating young woman. Well, and the other point this will raise, and aside from the erections that you're raising amongst the people who are listening to this, is people will want to know what your childhood was like. You said that your aunt was a stripper. Mm-hmm. You know, the cliche is that people believe that people who get involved in the sex industry or who are very sexual had traumatic childhoods and suffered various types of abuse. Is that true for you?
I had a rough childhood. I personally was never abused or anything like that. I mean, I don't think that had anything to do with me getting into it. I do know the stereotype and that it's true for a lot of people, but for me, I don't think it was. I mean, it was rough in the sense that, you know, my family didn't have a lot of money and that kind of thing, but I was never abused.
And are you close to your family? You have good relationships with them?
Some of my family members, yes. Some, no. I'm very close to my brother.
And do the family members who don't, who you're not close to, is that because they disapprove of what you do for a living?
No, not at all. No, I mean, the other personal issues that we've had, but it's never been about what I do.
And again, for people who haven't had the chance to thoroughly research you at this point, the people who aren't typing your name in various combinations into Google and trying to dig up your high school graduation photographs, as well as modeling, you are still currently a stripper, correct?
I do still dance, but very, very part-time.
Is that because...
I work probably a couple days a month. It's because I travel a lot and I do work a lot, so I'm not home as much as I was used to being. So it's whenever I get the time and the chance, I go in and work.
You sound as if you enjoy it.
Oh, I love it. I have such a good time. It's like I'm going in, like, to a party. Like, I'm going home. Like, you know, it's just a party at my house when I go into work because I've been there. I've been at the same club for, like, 3 years. So I know all the girls. You know, it kind of seems like you're going in, and it's all, like, your sisters and your best friends, and you're all just having a good time and, you know, just making people laugh, make people happy, and you get to make money at the same time. So it's awesome. And you're always meeting new people, and... It's a lot of fun.
I guess it must be a lot of fun. I mean, but you are meeting new people while you're naked, and you are meeting mm-hmm. new people who are going to be, you know, trying to grab you, normally a couple of seconds after they've been introduced to you.
Yeah.
Which club do you work at?
I work at a club called Ecstasy Cabaret in Akron, Ohio.
Is that a big club?
No, not really. I mean, it's relatively small. It's broke up into, like, three parts. So they have, like, a bookstore, and then there's the cabaret. It's, like, the nude side, and then they have a bar attached where you can walk over to the bar, have a drink, but there's no nudity over there. So
and when
it's not big, but it's very well set up.
I'm sure that's what a lot of people would actually say about you. Not big, but very well set up. So it sounds like the ideal environment for you to be plying your trade in. And when you say bookstore, I'm assuming we're talking about picture books. I doubt you could go in there and get a copy of, you know, The Master and the Margarita.
No, it's a porn store. I mean, you can go in there and get, you know, videos, magazines, and toys, and that kind of thing. So
exactly those kinds of books.
Those kinds, yeah.
I have never been to a strip club in your part of the world. So, mm-hmm. But I have been to strip clubs in other parts of the world because I have to research these things, and that's what the listeners expect of me.
Of course.
But what kind of club is it? Is it glamorous? Is it low key? Is it, you know, what's the kind of strip club experience that you're working in?
It's very low key. It's not a very flashy club. I mean, it's low key. It's small. It's ran by a husband and wife team. I would say you could probably fit maybe 70 people tops in there.
Is that why they hired you? Because obviously if they hire you, they can get one other small dancer in as well.
Yeah, actually, we have a lot of girls that work there, like, because you don't have to have a schedule, and it's kind of like when you work when you want. So we have a lot of girls that go to college and work there. So we probably have like about 60 or 70 girls on like the roster that work at various times.
You do have to understand though at this point that every stripper on the planet responds to what do you do for a living with I'm a student. So when although you might know that they're students, when a guy hears that a girl working in a strip club is a college student, it's basically the same as saying, fuck off, I don't want to tell you what I do for a living.
Yeah. No, I mean, I understand that. I mean, a lot of girls do, you know, make up stories about what they do. But actually, that's one thing I do like about our club is a lot of our girls are going to school. And like, since I've been there for 3 years, I've seen probably about 20 girls graduate and stop working there. So
do they actually, you've just given me a fabulous idea. On graduation day, I mean, it's ideal. Do they come in with the robe and the mortarboard on and do a kind of special graduation strip? Because, you know, that'd work.
No, they've never done that. Usually when a girl's leaving us, like, you know, she's graduated, she's getting, you know, a real job and she's moving on. What we do is, she doesn't know this, but I mean, if you've worked there, then you know. But we bring the girl on stage, the dancer who's leaving, and we get all the rest of us girls on stage. So there's usually the girl in the middle and probably about 10 or 15 of us around her, and we give her a really crazy dance on stage, and we take a couple Polaroids with her so she has the most memories, and then, you know, we all go over to the bar and have a drink and just have fun, like, the entire night and, you know, say goodbye. So
it's a loving, warm, and happy family.
Yeah, that's how I think of it, you know. I mean, we're all so good to each other, and everyone always looks out for each other, so it's nice.
Okay, well, I've got the idea. This is great, but I'm getting the impression now that you're working in, like, the strip club that the Waltons would have run on Walton's Mountain somewhere. But it is a strip club. I mean, how far do things go? I'm assuming, is it a topless club? Is it full nudity?
The club is full nude. We have a rule. It's the dancer initiates contact. We are allowed to dance on you, grind on you, you know, that kind of thing, put our breasts in your face. But the dancer initiates all contact. It is up to her if, you know, she wants you, you know, to touch her at all or not at all. Like, you know, when we go into a dance, you know, each dancer has their own rules, and usually explain it like, you're allowed to touch, you know, my legs or my arms, you know, but nothing else, or I don't mind if you put your hands on my ass. I mean, it's all up to the dancer's discretion, but the guys know coming into the club that, you know, dancers initiate the contact, and what they say goes. Every dancer has their own rules, so you always have to ask. It's just, I mean, the club's very strict, and they don't put up with anything, so, and most of the guys that come there are regulars, and they know it, so...
So
you don't have any problems.
So if a guy's getting a dance from you and he says, this is my first time in a strip club and I've never been here before, what do you tell him? What are the rules for Jasmine Gray?
My rules are the only thing you can't touch is my boobs, my butt, or my kitty. You can put your hands on my back or my legs or, you know, my thighs or hips or anything, but you don't touch any of the bad parts or you're out of the club. So.
And without... you know, crossing any lines here. Well, actually, screw it. Let's cross some lines. In all honesty, and be completely honest with me here, because I do have equipment attached to my recording gear here that will tell me if you're not telling the truth, and it'll be very embarrassing. It'll be very embarrassing for us both. How far have you been? And I don't mean how far do you go, but I mean when there was that time and you were in that mood and there was that guy and he was really... funny or cool, or that woman, because I know that strippers go a lot further with women than they go with men. I used to work for a stripper,
yeah.
So I know these things. So what is the wildest experience you've had giving a customer a dance?
The wildest experience was I had two lesbians come in, and I gave the two of them a dance at the same time. And basically they were both having fun, like, with each other while they were watching me, and I was dancing for them, and I kind of let them touch places, like, you know, they were playing with my boobs and my butt, but mainly I was just watching them get crazy, so that was fun.
You're a good...
They were both had skirts on, and they didn't wear any panties, so...
Were these kind of hot TV lesbians, or were they real lesbians who look as if they drive UPS trucks?
Okay, the funny thing was, there was one, the one was butch looking, but she had, it was, she had short hair, but it was really feminine short hair. And she kind of was dressed like, not like a guy, but, you know, she had like a business shirt on with some, with like a nice skirt, but she was more of the butch one. And then the other girl was very, very feminine, you know, the blonde hair, long, and, you know, just really sexy dress. But I mean, neither one was that butch looking. So they're pretty hot, you know.
And do you prefer dancing for women than for men?
I love dancing for women because I get to do it so rarely. So when I do, I'm in heaven.
There's a tip for any female lesbian or bisexual pornography listeners. Make it to that club and send this person to heaven. So you went from the dancing to the modeling. Mm-hmm. And fill us in. What do you? I mean, you've got the website. You're doing nude modeling. Are you doing movies? Do you have plans to do that sort of thing? Are you doing anything else?
My plans basically are I'm doing a lot of shooting a lot for my site. I'm trying to shoot a lot for other sites. You know, guest modeling, just to kind of hit all genres. I don't really plan on doing any film work as far as boy-girl concerns. I want to do some work solo and put out some DVDs like that, and possibly do some girlfriend's work where I'm working with another girl. Because I've only done like a girl-girl shoot a few times, but I really enjoyed it, and I've gotten some good feedback from it. So I think that might be my next route.
And do you currently have a boyfriend or a relationship?
Currently, I'm single.
Wow. And what does a guy have to do, or a woman for that matter, have to do to win your heart and your affections?
Win my heart. I don't know. I haven't dated in a really long time. So, and I haven't really been, I mean, I get hit on by guys, but not like a serious, you know, hitting on, like, you know, every guy wants to get in your pants, and you know that. But
You don't need to tell me that, Jasmine. Yeah. I mean, guys are trying to get into my pants all the time.
So I guess I wouldn't know. I mean, I haven't had it in so long. I would just, it would have to be, you know, whatever happens. But I mean, you can definitely, you know, buy me flowers, or, you know, give me a massage or something like that. You know, take me four wheeling. That would actually win my heart. I love country boys, you know, getting dirty. And if you got a four wheeler or a big truck or, you know, fast car. Yeah, that actually, my ideal thing would be a really hot chick in a really big truck with two four-wheelers on the back. That would win my heart.
So I'm thinking kind of like a whole Billy Ray Cyrus thing, maybe a Camaro with a great big flying chicken on the hood, that kind of thing.
No, I'm more of a like a Chevelle girl. I like the sports cars. Chevelle or Impala or something like that.
And how do you feel about chest hair and large, chunky gold jewelry?
A chest hair?
Uh-huh.
Chest hair is not a bad thing. I guess it depends on the guy and how it works with him. But the big, chunky jewelry I could do without.
Well, I think you really have to experience big, chunky gold jewelry, the way it feels cold against your chest as you dance, before you really write it off out of hand. But you are young, so you do have time to develop a taste for big, chunky gold jewelry. I never go anywhere without an enormous medallion.
Oh, because, really? Okay.
Oh, I know. I'm, you know, I normally wear like a nylon shirt with large collars and some colorful designs on, open to about the waist, with a large, chunky medallion, a lot of chest hair, big belt buckle, very tight jeans.
Oh, okay.
That's how I roll.
That's how you roll. Okay.
That's how I roll, Jasmine. and on the sex and modeling front. And by the way, a second ago you said you haven't had it for a while. You were referring to a relationship, or were you saying that you've been celibate for a while?
No, I haven't had a relationship for a while.
So when was the last time that you had sex?
The last time I had sex was, today's what, Tuesday? On Saturday.
And who was the lucky individual?
I'm not at liberty to say.
Was it a friend or a stranger? Was it someone you met in a club? Was it someone you have on your warm-up bench? Because I know you ladies have warm-up benches. I've heard you discussing it.
He's a friend.
So he's on the warm-up bench. He's a spare.
Yeah. It wasn't planned. It just happened. He's somebody I've known since high school, so.
You know what that means? That means you didn't plan it, but he did. He'd been planning it every night for about the past 5 weeks. In fact, every time you see that guy, he's planned it.
Uh-huh.
The only question is whether you're going to go for it, and he just happened to catch you in the right mood on Saturday.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
You should. If you ever need advice about what's going on in guys' heads, I can tell you it's frighteningly predictable.
Yeah, you'll be the first person I call when I need advice.
like so many. I'm almost like a branch of the Samaritans, really. Only.
Yeah.
Yeah, only that, you know, half the stuff I say is wrong and the other half is supposed to be funny and falls flat. So aside from that, I'm exactly like the Samaritans. So, finally, what do you have going on? If people, aside from your website, what should people be looking out for or what's on the horizon for you?
Currently, I'm probably going to be moving to LA or Vegas at the beginning of the year, just because in Ohio there's not much work. So I'm going to hit the website hard and promote that until I move. And then when I move, I'm going to hopefully do a lot of magazine work. So you can look for me there, and the DVDs, hopefully I'll start getting into filming that. Cause, you know, there's more girls out in L.A. that are willing to work, so.
Oh, yeah. I was there this weekend.
Hopefully I'll meet up with a couple girls. I've already been in talks with a few of them, so hopefully it'll work out, and we'll get some good stuff for you guys. But
well.
For now, I'm at home planning my move, so.
Well, the nation will wait bated breath, and thank you so much for taking time out of your day to have a chat with us.
You're very welcome.
I will call you again more successfully in future when you have new news to share, and I will advise everyone to go and check out your website at jasminegray.com.
Oh, thank you very much. It was my pleasure.
Have a great day. Bye for now.
Bye.
He drives the most expensive car because second best never enters his mind.
From Midtown Manhattan to the mob's private playground in the Caribbean, from Times Square to the stratosphere, he's bad. He's mean. He's a loving machine.
He's twice as cool, twice as sly, twice as deadly.
If he won't do me, nobody will.
This week's featured article from Sugarhive, the sex wiki, is a detailed look at strip poker. Not only is poker the hottest trend in throwing your money down the toilet since tipping strippers and the British monarchy, but it's also a charming family game to be enjoyed as frequently as possible with siblings. The Sugarhive article takes you through the game's origins and subtleties, and recommends a few places online you can play for free. You'll find a link to the strip poker guide on the homepage of sugarhive.org, and as always, add what you know, improve what you find, fix our mistakes, and have fun. That's it for Podnography Show number 7. I hope you enjoyed it, and as usual, you'll find links to all the things discussed in this podcast at podnography.com. That's podnography.com. Email me via podnography@gmail.com if you love the show. A couple of people who hate the show seem to have memorized that address already. Before I go, let me mention Skepticality. I was going to review the Skepticality podcast in this show, but I decided not to when I found out that Derek, one of the hosts, has become seriously ill with pressure on the brain. It has a long, complicated name that I haven't bothered to memorize, but it's extremely serious, and I get the impression it's very touch and go as of the time that I'm recording this podcast on Thursday. If you haven't heard Skepticality.com, it's a great show. It's a podcast that's well worth downloading. It deals with a number of issues, and some of them are sexually related. If you have been listening to the show and, like me, are concerned about Derek or his partner Sloopy, then wish them well. Say nice things and hold them in your thoughts. Anyway, have a great week. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you here soon.